Okay, we've been learning Tuf Mem Zayin and pretty much using it as a springboard for the other discussions we've had. Welcome. I think it was last week that we digressed to talk a little about quinoa. And I mentioned to you that in the OU there was a difference of agreement between Rav Belsky, Zichrono Livracha, and Yevad Lachaim, Rav Herschel Schachter. Rav Belsky held that quinoa is kitnius and is aser, and Rav Schachter held that it's mutter. The OU originally asered it, and a couple of years later, Wamatir, not because Rav Belsky changed his mind, but since there were chalukei dayos, and there was a lot of pressure from those who felt it was necessary, that's my understanding as to the reason that they did so. I mentioned in previous years that it seems to me, for whatever it's worth, that quinoa pashtus is kitnius. It's seeds that are planted, seeds that are grown, and seeds that are cooked, which is typically considered to be kitnius. Peanuts of anything are better. Peanuts are not cooked. Peanuts are, they're also seeds that are planted and seeds that are grown, but they're eaten typically eaten raw, which should be better. And we're machmir on peanuts as well. In Eretz Yisrael, Nar Sameach, the head of one of the halacha chaburis, Yid the Talmud Chacham and Emir Rabbi Yehuda Spitz, put out a book. He's been writing very often in published magazines and the like about halacha issues. And besides being a Talmud Chacham, he's very determined in finding out and collecting different opinions on different matters. Much of what he writes is fascinating because besides the halacha, which you can read in many places, he traces down a lot of the opinions, a lot of the gedolim of the generation. So he has a piece on quinoa kitnius, and he presents it as view number one, view number two. I just would like to quote his summation of the general opinion across the board regarding quinoa. In the Isrim, he quotes Rav Belsky, and in a footnote writes that Rav Belsky didn't retract later. Rav Belsky, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Westheim, which is the Manchester Beis Din, Rav Shlomo Miller of Toronto. Then he goes to overseas. He says the COR of Toronto, that's the main hechsher in Toronto, MK of Montreal, and KM of Miami. Miami's not quite overseas. They all don't accept it. De the Charedis of Yerushalayim, not surprisingly, is Machmir. The Rav Asher Weiss, who now is the other Pesach in the OU, also is Machmir. Rav Nuor, Tishru Shabbos Kolchasa, is Machmir. Rav David Lau, the chief rabbi, Ashkenazic chief rabbi, is Machmir. Of course, the Sephardic chief rabbi certainly holds his kidneys because it doesn't cost him anything to hold that way. He writes that the Rabbanut in Israel holds that it's kidneys. And that the Sephardic Kashrus agencies in Israel, when they give a hechsher, right, la'ichle kidneys. So basically, the overseas view, he doesn't find any mekilin in Eretz Yisrael, maybe not surprisingly, but even the Rabbanut, which has a broader section, or broader, I guess, spread of Paiskim. He brings some other names that I don't recognize in the list of Mechmirin, the Canadian Hesherim, and the and so in the Chassidish world, that's for sure, in the Sachta Sarabonim, he brings his Mechmir. In the Mechilim, my aunt, what? Rabbi Yaakov Gross, you mean? Well, the I think one of the Rabbanim Mikayem, maybe his father, and okay, whatever, yeah, Nachinami. Okay, among the Mekilim, he says the what he calls the Big Five American Hesherim are Mekel. Big five, I guess, are the OU, the OK, the Star K, the Chaf K. I don't know who the fifth one is. The Star K, Rav Heidemann. The Chaf K, Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz. I guess the CRC, you mean the Chicago? Yeah, the Chicago Rabbinical Council. Oh, that's Rav Dov Schwartz. So those five, as I said, are Makel. I don't believe he brings any other names. In the list of Mekelim, he doesn't bring other Mekelim. Anyway, that's this is the Machlaikis. So that there's significant ice from what? So it depends on the definition, really, of kidneyus. It depends on two questions. Regarding the definition of kidneyus, it certainly fits the typical definition of kidneyus in that it's the seeds, planted the seeds, grown the seeds, and cooked. The tzad that they're makel is based, I think, on two cheshbon. It's my understanding. I can't speak for others. My understanding is that there are two cheshbonos. One cheshbon is that it's a new item. It didn't exist at the time of the minig. And since it didn't exist at the time of the minig, there never was a minig to be machmir. That's one of their cheshbonos. Obviously, corn didn't exist either. Corn is also a new world product, at least some of the types of corn that we have. And so too for peanuts is a new world product. And they also didn't exist and were machmir. They bring some other things. In the footnote, he quotes the press releases of the various Hechsherim. One, he says, is that the Star K tested quinoa flour and see if it rises, and it doesn't rise. I'm not sure what that means. Corn flour obviously doesn't rise either. It would be chametz. So I don't know why that matters. They quote somebody in Chile who says it's never grown together with wheat, which maybe is one reason to be makel. But my point to you is this, that he brings up Dov Feinstein. Rav Shlomo Miller strongly worded the letter on the topic. It was published in Kovetz Eitz Chaim, etc. The point is, the Achaluk Ideas, however, most Paiskim, and certainly the Paiskim that are not in the Hechsher business and have less Negiyos, seem to uniformly aser. In other words, the Metirim seem to be the five kashrus agencies, and that's it. Now, I don't mean to beshegetz anyone, but I'm just saying, sometimes you make up for a tzairach. Now, if you give a hechsher on a hotel, and there's a lot of pressure from the hotel that they must have the quinoa, it could become more of a tzairach than me in my house, although if my wife tells me, it may also be a tzairach. But lamaisa, the level of tzairach is not that great. We seem to survive without quinoa all along. And if he has me, I could do without quinoa. So it depends. I guess it depends on a person's needs. There are people who are limited in what they could eat because of certain health issues. Certainly people who can't have gluten, can't have matzah. Matzah products are somewhat limited, and it depends. Everything depends. But the day of Reif Paiskim, the way we would measure Reif Paiskim in halacha, would seem to be Tahasir. And the fact that those who give Hashem on hotels are the Mekilim, and only they are the Mekilim, makes it, gives us at least a feeling that there should be if it's not an extraordinary tzairach, that a person should be machmir. Just one second. He does bring an interesting footnote. Rav Dov Feinstein asserted, and he brings in his footnote that there is a video going around online where Rav David appears to change his mind. He writes, and I can testify this was Rav David's style. He says, there's a video attesting to this, that he changed his mind. Where after David was first informed that quinoa is a type of spinach, and that Rav Heinemann ruled it's not kidneyous, because it's a New World item. Although Rav David himself would not eat it, he was asked if others can rely on the opinion that it's not kidneyous. And Rav David responded in the affirmative. Now, he says it's not fully accurate. The words of Rav Yitzchak David Frankel, he's the Rav of the, I think, in the Five Towns of, is it Agudah of the Five Towns? He says that's Rav David's style. If you tell him Pliny is Makel, could you rely on him? He says yes. Rapam did the same thing. People said to Rapam, they told me Rapam is Makel. And then I asked Rapam if he's Makel. He said no. He said, but Pliny said he's Makel. He said, Pliny sat down next to me and told me that a Chashev Rav is Makel. So what should I say? So, you know, so he said you can rely on him. So Rav David, I mean, he did say that if you're relying on your Paiskim, you can rely on your Paiskim. But rather, he himself is not Makel. And he writes from David, he's quoting from Frankel. This is written, Rav David was still alive. This is a complicated issue based on contradictory approach. Rav David has not changed his mind. A person will not eat or permit quinoa, irrespective of any videos to the contrary. How the question is framed makes all the difference. Rav David will never tell anyone that he can't be samech on a reliable opinion, even if he personally disagrees. So that's the bottom line with Reb David Held. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you that if it's not a big tzairuch, there's kosher pesach chocolate. Why would you eat quinoa? Right? There's plenty of kosher pesach chocolate. So,
what? All year round, do you have to have quinoa or not?
Quinoa is the same as rice. If it's raw, you don't need. If it's cooked, you do need. Depends on how you buy it. Some rice comes raw, and some rice comes the 5-minute rice, or the 1-minute rice comes pre-cooked. That has to have a hefsher. He quotes Rav Asher Weiss in a printed tshuva Minchas Asher. Yeah, the OU. Rebelsky, Bar L'Chaim, Rav Shechter were the two paiskim of the OU. And they disagreed. I think before quinoa became very popular, it was less of a tzairuch, and they were machmir, they write out of deference to Rebelsky. But quinoa is adama. No, it's not mazalas. It's a bar priya adama. Yeah, he said you could rely on Rav Shechter. Yeah, okay. I'm not b'shegitzing anybody. I'm just saying the fact that they were machmir, and they have printed here their the language of the OU press release. If somebody wants to see, you could see it. I'm not. I'm just presenting to you the broad spectrum of it, and it would just seem to be, again, depending on the tzairuch, that the rive of the paiskim, certainly rive of the hecherim, all the hecherim outside of America, according to him, are machmir on the topic, and. Do what you want. I'll be your friend, even if you're a quinoa. That's perfectly okay. I don't have any personal dislike for quinoa, but not for people who eat it. So I'm just presenting to you the thing. Yes, Doug.
Isn't the origin of quinoa is that once it's ground, it looks like flour that is
fine? The origin of quinoa is the issue of great debate. Every century, there's been a tumult over quinoa. In the 1800s, in the 1900s, probably in the 1700s as well, there have been at least three different tumults over what constitutes quinoa at different times in the history of Minig Ashkenaz. Also, the question of whether quinoa derivatives are also. Most Paiskim at the turn at the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, including Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, Rizukhan Spector was the Pesach of Klal Yisrael. Most of them held that quinoa's derivatives are mutter, which would mean corn syrup and corn oil. Most held that derivatives of quinoa's are mutter. But Klal Yisrael went with the Machmirim, and as it is with Pesach. The nature of halacha is that in one generation they're chluki deis, and later there's a consensus. Now, not always. Sometimes the chluki deis continue, and sometimes there's a consensus. Today, there's no question there's a consensus that derivatives of kitnias are aser, although in Eretz Yisrael, at the turn of the century, the 1900s, they were using sesame oil. Now sesame is kitnias late everybody, but they used sesame oil. There was terrible hunger in Eretz Yisrael for a period of time, and many of the gedolim were matir. But the consensus is today that it's aser. It would seem from a purely halachic standpoint that there would be more reason to be matir corn syrup and corn oil than quinoa. Because corn syrup and corn oil has A, the fact that corn, again for the most part, is also a New World product, and B, that many paiskim are matir derivatives of even real kitnias. So, but we're not matir because there's a consensus that it's aser, and the case of quinoa, there's no consensus today. There's a difference of opinion. You rely, some people find themselves guests in a home or even in a hotel where they use it. So it's one situation. The other situation is when you're in your own house and do what you want. I'm okay with whatever a person does. I'm just presenting to you the cross section of opinions. What? Okay, the question of utensils of kitnias. There are many mixed marriages where people marry Sephardim and Ashkenazim. It's more and more common. The rule of Kalim says in the Kafachayim, which Rapam used to follow, that Kalim, Eina B'nei Yayman, of kitnias are don aser. In other words, it's enough to aser ben Yayman. Eina ben Yayme Keli, I'll remind you, even a trefa Eina ben Yayme Keli, the food is not aser. It's using the Keli that's aser. If you use it, it's Gezei Ratu ben Yayme. If somebody has Sephardic in-laws and he goes to their house, the use of the Keli is certainly not aser for the in-laws. They're eating kidneys. They could use a kidneys Eina ben Yayme Keli, and if they're cooking potatoes, he's allowed to eat it because in eating it, Eina ben Yayme is mutter. So that an Eina ben Yayme Keli for kidneys is mutter, and for Gebrach should be the same thing. Kidneys is an earlier Minig Yisrael than Gebrach for those who are Machmir. And there are more people who will mix who marry into families where they do eat Gebrach, don't eat Gebrach. So the same thing, as long as the Kalim that I used for the family that's visiting, they don't use certain Kalim for Gebrach, and those Kalim they use for the other family. So say to Ben Yaimai, it should be mutter. This is the way Rapam Paskin, this is what he told people based on the Kafachayim. I think it's generally the way the Rabbanim Paskin, and that's certainly the way that's certainly what I tell people.
If the host is not
Matan
Gebrach, so they're the ones who are using the Kalim. That's
what I mentioned. That the Sephardi is using the kidney Kalim, so you can't ask for it on him. So the shal is the food.
But
the food is not us.
Serving it to the one who's makan on kidney,
right?
It should be okay.
If it's a ben yaimer, ain't a ben yaimer. No, if it's a ben yaimer, it's a din in the food. Ain't a ben yaimer is an isser on the keli. Zeratu a ben yaimer. Ben yaimer is an isser on the food. The food itself has bleias of kidneys, and we treat bleias of kidneys to be aser. So you're right, by an Eina ben Yayme Keli, there's no issue on the food. The issue is on the use of the Kli. Since this is on the use of the Kli, so then it's okay. I remind you, Ramesh has a tshuva. If you're giving a hersha to a goyish company, they ask Ramesh, why do we have to kasher? You go in Monday morning, it's Eina ben Yayme, the guy's allowed to cook, and once he cooks it, I can give a hersha. Ramesha writes that Mikra Adin is that way. He just calls it Mechur Adavar to go and give a Heshra on Trefa Kelim. But in the Ikra Adin, he's masking that Eina Ben Yayme Keli always is a din in the user rather than a din in the food. Now, by Chometz Mamish, Eina Ben Yayme asks for us. So, for Ashkenazim. But Eina Ben Yayme is certainly... But kidney is certainly, but yeah, but it wouldn't ask. If kidney is awesome, if least a kidney, the pashtus is that they're awesome. Yeah. It wasn't around, and the fact that It's grown separately. It's not some of the characteristics of kidneys is that they were grown in close proximity to wheat, and the kidneys they have somebody who lives in Chile who went to look at the farms. They're all totally separate quinoa farms, and they're not grown together with the other things. Kidneys was grown near wheat. Today, in the modern society, I don't know. I imagine at least the major commercial farms are grow one or two products. But whatever is done with kidneys today, I don't know. But in the Bekar HaMinig, it was grown in close proximity to. I understand the Sfaradim check the rice beforehand. It's just hard for me to understand if a person goes through 20, 30, 40 years of checking rice, I assume he never found wheat, why we go through it again to check the rice, maybe out to Minig Yisrael to check. It's funny to call it checking. If you go through rice for decades and you don't find anything, I don't know, maybe it's the Minig. Some check three times. So rice for bugs, the story is this, by All rice has bug eggs in it. All rice, almost anything that grows will have an insect larva of some type in it. If you're going to take a package of rice and put it in a moist place and leave it there for 6 months, you're going to get bugs. So we check for bugs because sometimes in a store, especially if it's not a supermarket, it's a mom and pop store, stuff just sits on the shelf for a while. If they don't rotate it, the things in the back sit there for a while. So that's why we check it. Now they have finding wheat and rice is unheard of. I mean, people, their allergies today to wheat, and the companies will get sued if they sold the products and they had white wheat in it and somebody ate it.
Sometimes you find the rice shell looks like wheat sometimes in over the bowl.
You check it, you mean, and you find... You check it three times or one time? Three?
Yeah.
Three times. So there's a minute of Sfaradim is they check three times. And you buy it with the Hechsher or you just buy regular?
No, we buy without vitamins.
Without vitamins, not enriched. As a Pesach Hechsher. Even with a Pesach Hechsher, you still check.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Okay. Okay, to say the Gemara. All right, so this is the quinoa issue. Once I'm walking on thin ice, and I certainly don't mean to offend anybody, I don't want anybody to be offended by this, I mentioned to you in previous years that today the wine stores, in Brooklyn at least, carry any wine with Hebrew lettering. Now, there's no Hechsher on the store. The store will carry any wine that has any type of Hebrew lettering on it. The funny thing is they carry, and I'm still doing Andy Boy Roman lettuce, with Hebrew lettering. If you read the Hebrew lettering, it says Tzarech Bedika, which is very, very strange, but they're very small letters, but they carry the wines, and it's not really Yosher, because a lot of the wines are not used by the kashrus agencies, who are a little more selective. So every year I tell you that the KAJ gives out a accepted wine list. In other words, what they accept, they tell you right away, they didn't check every single wine. An exclusion from the list does not mean it's not kosher, but they do have an accepted wine list. In my house, where you keep the wine, you have taped onto the wall there in the closet, the KAJ wine list. Their wine list came out, they just got it in the mail on Erev Shabbos. I made copies of it on your way out, those who want. It has a list of the labels that are acceptable and the ashkachas that are acceptable for wine. And I certainly recommend that you be selective in the wines that you use. There's plenty of good kosher wine that's kosher l'chaladeis. And it's very difficult to give a hechsher on wine. When we learned Hilchos Yayin Nesek, I mentioned to you, it's very, very difficult to give a hechsher on wine. Kedem has a Jews-only factory. And they had to go to court against the unions who said that it's a prejudice where they're taking only Jews, and they won. They won in court. But but I don't believe that most of the companies, certainly not the companies in Europe and places where they won't find Jewish workers, that they have that hinder. It doesn't mean it can't be made properly. It just means it's very difficult, very, very difficult to make grape juice or wine or almost all grape products that have a yayin nesach issue. It's much more challenging to make it in such a place. And therefore, Baruch Hashem, we live in a city where all the wines are available. You don't live out in some straight city where they have very few brands of kosher wine. On your way out, the list is here. It's the Tav Shin Pei Aleph list. I didn't check it against last year's list, if it's identical or not. But for the most part, it is. And I would recommend that you, like I said, be selective. I know I have Shabbos guests who bring wine, and very often they're not they're just not wine that I feel comfortable using. And they bring the wine, but I don't use it. I have an arrangement with one of the wine stores where after Purim, I bring him all the bottles of wine that I don't want to use. He credits me the wholesale price, and then I exchange it for stuff that's retail. I think I mentioned to you once, somebody from quite a wealthy family came to me for Shabbos and brought me a bottle of schnapps. Now, I don't use schnapps at all, and not for cautious reasons. I just don't find it useful. So I figured, you know what, it was Purim time, I'll bring it to the store. So I exchanged a bottle of schnapps for two cases of wine, which was wholesale to retail. So it was a very welcome bottle of schnapps. I appreciate it very much. At any rate, these are two topics which are perennial Pesach topics. Okay, let's learn Siftes. As I told you at the outset, there are the two major topics of Kulis Achumris on Pesach. We learned the end of Ches and Sif Yud, which is the rule of Nisan Tav Lefgam, which, as I told you, the Ashkenazim are Machmir, that Eina Ben Yoyim Echametz Dikakeli Asers, but only on Pesach, not before Pesach. Before Pesach, Eina Ben Yoyim Echametz Dikakeli doesn't ask. Sif Tes is a totally different topic, the topic of Bittul Yavesh B'Yavesh. Now, just to explain, you can have two types of taruvis. You can have liquid into liquid. Liquid into liquid is much more comfortable. You're cooking a chicken soup, and milk spritzes in. So the milk, it dissipates. It sort of disappears into the chicken soup. The halach is, it's batul b'shishim. It's batul 1 in 60. You can't taste it. It's gone. For halachic purposes, it just doesn't exist anymore. And therefore, bittul b'shishim is mutter b'chal ha'terah kula. On Pesach, we're machmir that it asks b'kosher. Yavesh b'yavesh is a heter that most people are not so comfortable with. Yavesh b'yavesh essentially means that if you have three pieces of meat that look identical, three chicken legs, and one is perdu, and two are chassidish shechita, or if you're more mahadir, non-chassidish shechita, whatever it may be, they're excellent kashrus, and one is a perdu chicken leg, and you can't tell one from the other. So the halacha is that is batal, chad betray is batal, mim b'minai, yavesh b'yavesh is batal, chad betray, you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat it. There's a machlekes to Rosh and the Raj, if you can eat all three. If what we call heter, isanasa heter. So chatchila wimachmir. No one person eats all three. Some are not to throw one out. But the Ikar HaDin is not that way. All three are okay. Now, I assume if you're like me, and I don't feel so good putting it to my mouth where the odds are one out of three that it's a Purdue chicken. And therefore, it's a little nerve-wracking to be mekel. But that's the halacha. The halacha is that yavesh b'yavesh, you go basarai, mim b'mina, yavesh b'yavesh, habitrei basal. Now the question of whether timtum halev applies where it's mutter, logic would seem to dictate that there's no timtum halev. The same Torah that asks is matir. Some sefer seems to say in a famous tshuva that there is timtum halev because it's a mitzius. So then, I guess that's that. But I once quoted the Bnei Yisrael. I quoted there's a Pischei Tshuva near Yerodei Chelek Beis, who he brings the Shaila if something is batal, if something is batal, whether there's an inyan to be machmir not to eat it. So he brings those who say there's an inyan to those who say there's an inyan to be machmir, and then he brings that it's apikursus to be machmir. If the Torah said it's muta, it's muta. I mentioned then the Bnei Yisoscha, who says adarab, it's a mitzvah to eat it, because it's klipay shenetaru, something treif that became mutter. Now I don't know if he's talking yavish b'yavish or lach b'lach, but not sure if it's true about yavish b'yavish. I can't say for certain. I would have to look it up to see. But anyway, that's a separate topic. What? His shaila is by bittul b'shishim, but it's meant as an example. He says hechashetir chachamim kagain. But it would be true, but what? If the isa nasa heter, shaila is if the Torah said it's mutter, whether there's any union to be machmir. Okay, what? At the end of, I think it's the last Pesachei Tshuva. It's definitely the last Pesachei Tshuva. I think it's in Kofiut Ches. The last Pesachei Tshuva. What? The Geirim. Yeah, okay. All the things. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. You can do whatever you want. I'm not gonna oppress you. You can't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Halach is definitely without a suffix, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So, I agree with you. I don't see how something that could be mitab to believe if it's not iser. It's a sakana. I agree with you. I don't understand how if it's mutter it could have negative spiritual consequences. It's very hard to understand. Same Torah to us, it was the Torah that's matter, I understand. You know what it is? To say it's not metamte, nobody had to write it. Nobody had to write a tshuva. If it's mutter, stomach, it's not metamte. We find one tshuva that says it's metamte, it doesn't mean that everybody necessarily holds that way, I guess. Okay, at any rate, the luck is you're allowed to do it, so you do it. I agree. I didn't say not allowed to do it. I just imagined that I'd be uncomfortable. But that's just maybe it's missing in my emunas chachamim. I don't know. Okay. If it was one steak with two other steaks, it would be a problem because a chaticha rei l'schaved is not bottle anyway. So if the steaks, there's no heta. So what's the heta for pulkas? For a pulka, you know, like. A little difficult. Let's learn Siftes, the din of Yavesh B'Yavesh on Pesach. So Shulchan Aruch says Yavesh B'Yavesh Avagad the Bishari Surim Chabit Rei Batal Chometz B'Matzah Afilu Be'Elof Lei Batal. That means that if you have one Chometz Stick of Matzah, they look the same, a Mishim Matzah that's Chometz Stick and a Mishim Matzah that's Pesach Stick look identical, and if they got one chametz tikka matzah got mixed into 1,000 Pesach tikka matzahs, loy batal, all 1,000 are now osir. Yes, Mishnah Berurah will say that. V'yei shaymerim, the chametz shavu l'shari surim b'zeh. V'yei shaymerim is always the minority opinion. There are those who say that no, chametz trei is batal on Pesach. Now, why should it not be batal? So as always, we have the two reasons in the Rishayim why we're more machmir on chametz. The reason of Roi Rishayim, I think Taisus and the Rosh, that since chametz is an issacharis, it's a dava chamor, chametz is an issacharis, so chavazawa machmir ta'aseh b'mashu, and the reason of the Mordechai that it's a dava shoshem atirin. The Mordechai says, since Chabetz after Pesach is mutter, so on Pesach, It's not bottled because it's a Davish Yeshay Matirin. Now, of course, for us, it's not a Davish Yeshay Matirin. Because Chabit Shavuot of HaPesach is Asamid Rabbanan. But I guess in the Ikar Adin, Chametz is a Davish Yeshay Matirin. And therefore, the Mordechai holds that that's why Chazal said that it's not bottled. So we have two reasons it's not bottled. Either because the Chumrah the Chametz, or because Davish Yeshay Matirin, according to his uptight, or Davish Yeshay Matirin, that it's awesome. Now, let's see the Mishnah Berurah on this. Tzadik Beis. Yovesh v'yosh v'atzaloi v'nisar prusa shal chametz v'seh prusa shal matzah v'ini nikr. A piece of matzah and a piece of chametz got mixed together. Dilo v'nisar v'kiko v'tay kikrais l'kuli amalei batal d'havet davish ha'beminya v'ini batal afilo be'alav. The Mishnah Berurah holds that a single matzah is a davish ha'beminya. Now, hand matzahs certainly have the chashivas, I think, of a davish ha'beminya. I'm not sure about machine matzahs. They're not sold by the piece. They're sold pretty much by the pound. Now, hand matzahs also sold by the pound, but a davachashev generally has a din. In Siman Kuf Yud Aleph, where it says davachashev, it lists the eight dvarim chashuvim in the time of Chazal, and then it says v'chol davish ha'beminya. So maybe a hand matzah will be this way. Machine matzah, it's questionable that today machine matzahs, which are very inexpensive, and it's a chesed that they exist for Jews who are marginally religious across the world. The fact that machine matzahs exist and are inexpensive is a tremendous chesed. And what? One matzah is what? You see what he said? Roilus Chabed? I don't think so. I don't think so. You give a person a matzah, but not because it's a chashav a dish. The Gemara in Shin Yuches, it talks about kikroi shell, some special type of bread is a davish minyan. I don't think every roll is a davish minyan. It has chashivas of davish. At any rate, this is the din of the sire of Kiko Batai Kikrais, and no, they're cut before they're baked. They're cut before they go into the oven. They're actually baked separately. All dough comes originally as one dough, and while they're rolled out as a sheet, it's cut before it's baked. After it's baked, it'd be very hard to cut it uniformly. So this is the way it is. Then this creates an extra reason to be machmir. One of the chumras of Chazal is that the people working with the matzahs should not be speaking while they're ladling the matzahs. They shouldn't be speaking because of a chashash that some saliva may come out of the mouth, and saliva is machmitz miyad. And besides that, it's not something that we like to think of eating, but that's a mitzvah that saliva does. Now saliva, it does. I want to tell you, Agav, that a lot of times when you find a psalm in the Sefer Torah, that's what it's from. It's from saliva that the Bakira leaned, and it smudged the letter when they rolled it afterwards, and the saliva was pressed into it. We had here, probably 2 or 3 years ago, a Sefer Torah that was found to be pasul. And the owner of the Sefer Torah is very, very disturbed. You know, the lady from it, he paid for it, and he found... So he says, Pasul. I told him, no, it came from saliva. He says, how do you know? I said, I'll show you. I took out the Sefer Torah, and I showed him that where, when you roll it, the back of the cloth touches the letter. I showed him where the back of the cloth touched the letter, there was black ink on the back of the cloth on the other side where it rolled over. Meaning it was always kosher. And when somebody, about Kair Lane, or someone made a brach, it happens that a drip of saliva falls out. And it could pass on Sefer Torah. So the same idea, that same concept is true about you should wear a mask. Yeah, it's interesting. This year they were wearing masks in the matzah bakery. It's an additional reason to wear a mask. And the benefits of the pandemic. Somebody told me you don't have to shake women's hands at work anymore. And I guess the other benefit is masks when they work. There's a beautiful article in, I think it was a Mishpacha this week, in one of the magazines, about Rebelsky's Chabura. His matzah Chabura used to have. There's one inaccuracy. It says there that when they rolled the matzahs and they finished rolling, they would scream out to the guy to come and pick it up. The one doing the rolling didn't scream out. He was not allowed to speak. And they didn't wear masks. And it's a technical point that's not accurate. Now the problem is, according to what it says here, is that if once saliva falls into one matzah, it makes a chametz, and then it got mixed in with 1,000 matzahs, it would seem to be something of an issue. The question is, what about before Pesach? If it happens before Pesach, what's the din? So let's see the next Mishnah Berurah, and listen to what he says. Tzadikim, loy batal kivon dimnisar v'lach balach isuri b'mashu gam b'yabei shichmiru. So therefore, we're machmir just like the mach balach balach chametz asis b'mashu b'yabei shtu. Skip the brackets. Lefizet dafka kishnisar b'pesach. Avol nisar b'erev a'pesach adalayla. The kaimel leos of beis dina kishar isurim. Imkain. Balach shiurei b'naisin tam k'shari surim lach balach is batal b'shishim who had b'yavish gam k'edina k'shari surim a batal b'rayv. So far sounds great. So if it's before Pesach, so it's no problem. However, makamaka tzarshiu necholim kulam k'edim alayla. It only helps if you eat it before the night of Pesach. Dilav reyamrina chayzer v'nir b'Pesach le'el sivdalet. Chayzer v'nir, again, is an Ashkenazi chumra, Sfaradim don't hold of. And the Ashkenazi, we're machmir chayzer v'nir. Chayzer v'nir means, when something is batal yavesh b'yavesh, and Pesach comes, the Isser is chayzer v'nir. The chay Isser awakens itself, it's still a taruf. It's not like lach balach. Lach balach is batal b'shishim, it just doesn't exist. In the eyes of Allah, it dissipated, it spread, it doesn't exist. Yavesh b'yavesh, where it exists, but there's a heter. So we're machmir that something is chayzer v'nir, and therefore a person has to be careful with the matzahs. Yeah. But I'm talking about the matzah, not the keli. I'm talking about the matzah itself. So therefore, a person really has to be careful on the kelim. I should mention there are machine matzahs with excellent hechsherim, the 18-minute matzahs. I think generally speaking, we should be makbid on 18-minute matzahs. 18-minute matzahs means that the machinery is cleaned out every 18 minutes. Now, it's very interesting. The Geula brand of matzahs, the names seem to change every couple of years from Eretz Yisrael. It's the same company. They just maybe make it in different places. But this year, the Geula brand has the Badatz. It's fascinating that the Badatz gives a hechsher on machine matzahs. They come in blue boxes and red boxes. I want to explain to you, if you use hand matzahs, one of the boxes, I get confused which is the blue and which is the red. I think one is for Democrats and one's for Republicans. But one box says in big letters 18 minutes. The other box does not. Now it's a little confusing because your impression would be by the 18-minute one. They're actually both 18-minute matzahs. The one that does not say 18 minutes is made from flour that shmura mishas ktsira. That's actually more mohuder. The one that says 18 minutes is not made, it's made, deikra din is yoni shmura mishas lisha, and not shmura mishas ktsira. So that's made from what's also 100% kosher. But it's just interesting, the one that says 18 minutes on it is the one that's cheaper and less mohuder than the one that doesn't say the big 18 on the box. So it's sort of a misleading. I don't know how it happened that way. It's misleading. What? That's right. Shmura Shas Katsiri can use for the Seder, 100%. Those who use machine matzahs, for those who use machine matzahs, they're probably more mahudr technically than the most hand matzahs. Because most hand matzahs do sit. They're not constantly moving. If you go to a matzah baker and they finish rolling out the matzah, it takes a few seconds till it's picked up. And then they're waiting on line by the radler, by the one who makes the holes. And then it goes on a stick. They usually five or six to the stick. It sits on the stick for a few seconds. The machine matzahs are, they're on a belt. They're constantly, constantly moving. Technically, they might be, what? Where? By the hand matzahs? So I'll tell you, we use here in Shul, the Salem Pupa Bakery. I went to the bakery. I've been to many matzah bakeries. It happens to be, it's a, I don't knock anybody else, but they're very mohder. All, when I went, all the women there were clearly from Shomer Shabbos women, and there was no talking going on at all. There was a kepeda not to talk, and I mentioned this to someone who went this year to look at them, to look at it, and he said, "What women?" I said, "What women?" He said, "Now it's all men. It's all yeshiva light that go." Now, I don't know, from Hanukkah till now, it's all men, but it's all Bnei Torah. It's all people. Some of them come from Eretz Yisrael for a few months, and some of them live in Williamsburg. And it just happens to be, they're all kosher, but it happens to be a more mohudr. I want to mention, a few years ago, there was a brand, I won't say the name, that had an American brand that had machine matzahs with a big 18 on it. But if you look closely, it said 18 matzahs per box, what it said on it. It was definitely a misleading, a very misleading labeling, and it didn't repeat itself. But there weren't? They probably were, and they said 18. So, what? The Milan hand matzah is in the Lishma. In the machine matzahs, they usually, the 18 minute ones, they start the Lisha Biyadayim. They start kneading it by hand, and then they put it into the machine. That's the way it's done. That's the way KAJ did it. My wife's uncle, who was then called Davina Dayan, had his two fingers on his right hand were crippled. They were always bent. He was the Rav Amasha there, and he did the kneading as it went into the kneading machine. And unfortunately, once his fingers got caught in the machine, and his what? That was Vina. Okay, it was Vina, but it was made that way. KJ and Vina didn't do together. At any rate, the 18 minute means that they clean it in between. That's what 18 minute means. No, the saliva is machmetz biyad. That's what it says. Saliva is machmetz biyad. Or chayshiv is machmetz biyad. The saliva goes into the dough. They're rolling the dough. Yeah, worried about it in the dough. They're not in the flour, but in the dough. And it says if it falls in the dough, it's machmetz biyad. What? The science of chametz is not something that I think we can quantify exactly what it means. As a matter of fact, when we sell the chametz to the guy, we tell the guy chametz is defined by halacha, not by science. We want him to understand that chametz is defined by halacha calls chametz. I don't know that somebody can scientifically analyze a matzah that's chametz stick and a matzah that's pesach stick and find differences between them. Now, there are simonim. A dough that develops cracks in it is chametz thick. There are certain simonim. But so, off the record, I'll tell you, I had this suffix in an old machine matzah bakery that no longer exists. I once visited a machine matzah bakery. I was curious. It was in my younger years when I was enthusiastic to go and see things. And, you know, I learned since then to keep my nose in my own business. But at that time, I wanted to see the machine matzah bakeries. So I went to one of the American bakeries. And I was really horrified at what I saw, because the way it worked at that time, I think I mentioned to you in previous years, it was a three-story building. The top story was the lisha. It was all machine. Gigantic container. They put in flour, they put in water, did the lisha, and it tilted onto a chute. And it went down a chute. There's this big river of dough. And you had to get it thin. In order, the second floor had the table, which moved. on that moving table, there was the radling, the making the holes, and it went through an oven, moving constantly, till it came out. Now, how do you get it thin? It went through a whole chain of rollers. So it was going back and forth on the way down on a chain of rollers. Now, the problem with dough is it's very sticky. And if it wasn't a Pesach issue, there would be dough stuck to each of the rollers because that's the nature of dough. So they use Teflon rollers to which dough does not stick, which is perfectly good. They were Teflon rollers. When I looked, the first roller, when it came down very thick, was not a Teflon roller. As a matter of fact, it was a roller that was serrated, that it gripped the dough. It's very hard. Dough is very sticky. And I asked them what happened to the Teflon roller. So they told me that it didn't work. It skidded. It slipped on the dough. And it didn't work. And they put in these rollers. And what they did to correct it is they had a blade that was attached. So as the roller turned, the blade was meant to cut, to break off the dough that got stuck to keep it clean. Now, it was kapachkin a little. It was serrated. You really couldn't get every bit of dough as it turned. And what was more to me was the fact that when it hit this blade and fell down, it fell down on the table of matzahs that was rolling. So that, it seemed a little strange to get the dough off and it falls right on the matzahs. So I asked them about it. They said, look, if it goes through the chain, it's going to be on the matzah. So if it falls down, it's on the matzah. That's good if it gets every bit. If some of it sticks, it's a problem. So I don't say it's a problem with the b'dieved, but we declared then in the yeshiva, if a little bit of dough falls on a matzah and it gets pressed in, and you'll never find it, is that bittul yavesh b'yavesh? Is that lach b'lach? What is it? It would seem to be yavesh b'yavesh. In other words, the dough just gets pressed into a matzah somewhere, but it doesn't get mixed into the whole dough. It's already on the table. And what should I tell you? That's what you're asking. You say anything about the saliva, what the rules of bittul would be. So it's on. Well, it depends. If the blade works perfectly and cleans it, you're right. I didn't do a test on it, but it didn't seem to get all the flakes right away. And at the end, they scrapped that matzah bakery for Pesach, at least. It may exist. They made a new, more modern matzah bakery. And remember, Belsky told me about it, that they're making a new place, and hopefully it's better. They invited me to go to a new place, but I don't want to be stepping on anyone's toes, make anyone feel bad. So we anyway only use 18 minute matzahs, and that's good. The last halacha here in this sif is the end of Tzadik Gimel, kalim that mix with kalim. In your house, in my house, we're not going to have chametz tikka matzahs mixing with Pesach tikka matzahs. Not likely. However, at the end of Tzadik Gimel, he talks about what happens of a keli mix in. Oid kosvu. Okay, it's about the seventh wide line. Oid kosvu. Kli chomich in this Arab is saying kli pesach. Bi pesach. If it happens that you have pesach tikka keli, it became chomich. The way this happens is 1 year after pesach, you put everything away, and then you discover to your surprise that in the chomich tikka drawer, there's one pesach tikka utensil. Ever happened to you? Huh? We had little kids, it happened a lot. Because on Pesach, it ended up under a bed, and someone found it and stuck it in the drawer. So you could kasher it before Pesach, you could kasher it. What is he did? The chametz tikka spoon got mixed in with the other spoons. Is it bottle? So Mishnah Berurah paskins, dinai kama yavish b'yavish delay bottle, v'asu l'shtamish behem b'Pesach. That it's still, us it use all of them, even Erev Pesach, it got mixed in. It's not, which means even during the year. This would seem to be a nafkamina, the two reasons. Why are we machmir bittul of chametz? And because it's an Issacharis. So it's an Issacharis, we be machmir. Is because of Davashir Shematirin. So we already have the old argument in Simen Kuf Beis any time, if kashering kalim is called the davishesha matirin, Ramah said since it involves heating up water and demayetzim, it's not a davishesha matirin. So it would seem to be a nafkamina the two reasons. Most paiskim, most rishonim hold the isser is an issakar, the chumra is because of issakaris, and therefore it's aser. Achenim keicham itzayena ben yaimai, which would be normally the case, but makam b'diyasim chesyantim yesh lahakol im nisar of ber of Pesach. In our homes, this would only happen before Pesach. He says, if it's ena ben yaimai, and b'makam b'diyasim chesyantim, so then you can be makel of a mixed ber of Pesach. So someone on Pesach realizes he has all this food cooked and everything ready, and realizes there was a keli, a chamistik ena ben yaimai keli that got mixed into the other kelim before Pesach. So b'makom b'diyasim chesyantiv yesh lahakel of nisar ber of Pesach. So at least we end off with a kula. So this is the kula. Okay, right. But he means that it got mixed in with it was ena ben yaimai. I think that's what he means. Okay, Mitzvah Shem. Next week we'll take one other simid or sif to learn.